Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I would make this decision on my own if I were the person who emailed you. And look, be a man. And just, it's fantasy freaking football.
Mike Shope.
Make a call! You don't need his help. Figure it out. Go to a website. Download an app. What? You can't do it yourself? You need Mike's help?
And the Bulldog.
I don't know what to do. Who should I keep? It's not that hard. Pick a guy. You'll live.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just get on with your life. It's no big deal.
It's a great rant. One of my problems in life is I just sort of get lost in the, process. I get lost in it and I like it. I don't want to download an app, mister. I mean, I do. I will. I have. But then I want to stare at it and stew and ponder and peruse until the day is over. And I will wake up the next day having done nothing and we'll do it all over again. There it is. There's a mantra. I do nothing and then the next day do it all over again. You know, not really, but I like to consider. I like to ponder it. But, of course, the Fantasy Open with Bulldog away. It's out there. Sean McDermott gets a contract extension. Let's talk about him. The Blue Jays played a game in Buffalo last night and won. Let's talk about that. My plan is to do all of that here going forward. Bulldog is off. Sneaky Joe is here. And sure, we'll take your fantasy questions. We've already done it. And that's really what I do with most of my time anyway. So I feel like I can answer at least some of those questions. Not everyone's easy, but, you know, that's fine. 803-0550 is the number. Just quickly on McDermott, that is the big news today. From the Bills side of it, sure. This is what you do. His contract would have been up after next season. There is no reason I have to think that they wouldn't want him to stay for the foreseeable future. And Brandon Bean, right? Like, they get tons of credit for what they've done so far. Two playoff games, 25 and 23. If you include the playoff games, it's 25 and 25. And part of it is that it's the Bills who have had no success for many years prior to that. So it feels like maybe it's more than it is. But again, like, I don't snub my nose, if that's the expression, at this at all, because you want to keep it going. You want to keep going forward. And so now we'll see if they can do it, because that will be harder now to keep going. Maybe they're better equipped to do it, but they've had a 10-win season. And Sal was on before, and Sal said, if they go to the wild card game and lose, that's not progress. So it's going to get tougher now. Now the goal is a championship. Well, now, I mean, I say that. It's not like their goal wasn't that. That was the goal already, but now I feel like that's what we're talking about. You're going to keep your coach for six more seasons at this point. And they don't have to do that, but that's the intention. And also, it's his intention to stay for that length of time. I think that's the more interesting side of this equation, is that McDermott would choose to do it. Now, it's probably a super rich contract. The best coaches make eight figures. I don't know if he got there. I haven't seen that, but it's got to be, it, you know, worth it for him to say yes. He had a lot of leverage, you know. The Bills want him, and he said, he would say, all right, well, this is what I'll stay for, or whatever. I'm not saying he was difficult. I wouldn't even assume, I wouldn't even expect that. I don't know. No idea. How did I end up on that thought? Just mean negotiation. He has a lot of power right now. And so I think it's cool that he signed it. And it's not surprising that the Bills would offer it. Now you've got to win. And it does not take a long time in the NFL, unless you're New England, I guess, for a team to go south. And it can happen, even if you've made a lot of good moves, it can happen, whether that's injuries. It's just, we will not have, this is not a bad thing, we will not have, is the coach safe for a long time around here as a discussion, because there isn't, there's not going to be one. That's pretty safe, 2025. So good for him. And fans are excited about the Bills with good reason and impressed. And so is, I think, most of the league. They have, like I told Aaron Schatz, I think the word is credibility. They have advanced significantly in credibility. They have advanced some in performance. They have advanced significantly in credibility. Rex Ryan gave you average teams, but not credibility in a certain way. What matters, though, is, you know, wins. And things are going well. So that's today's story. You want to comment on McDermott? I think he showed, and they showed last year, some progress in some of the number stuff that I care about. Fourth down is not a problem on this team, you know, going for it relative to the rest of the league. They could do more of it. So could everybody. Also, pass to run got better. You also want to win games, and if your quarterback is not as good, not this isn't only a Bills point or meant as a Bills point, but just in football, then that's gonna change your plans. So we'll see this year with Diggs. Will they throw it a lot more? Will they need to, right? Will they be behind more? Will they need to throw it more to, you know, in the game flow? So again, 803-0550 if you want to take your crack at that news. Let's take a couple calls. John is with us now. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing this afternoon?
Okay.
Hey, that, you know, that was just cool last night, seeing our stadium. You know, anybody that's been to Vikings games is a little familiar with it. It was just cool to see, you know, see all that and to see him on the national spotlight. My biggest hope is that if and when, and it will, get back to normal, hopefully by next year, maybe we can get a series or two out of this team back at the stadium, you know, with fans. You know, that'll be real cool. The Blue Jays themselves, anybody maybe in, I don't know, I don't want to age discriminate, but maybe anyone in their late 30s, 40s, 50s, or older that follows baseball, I mean, this is just a cool team, just seeing the names of their young stars in their lineup, Biggio, Bichette, and Guerrero. That, to me, is just a fun little team if you're a fan of the sport itself. And, you know, and if I saw in any other sport, you know, two or three next generation players just by last names, you know, I would find that to be a cool story, and I think it is for the Blue Jays. So, again, it was awesome to see, and let's hope that maybe next year when fans are back at stadiums, jog across the bridge and ride up on the train for a half hour or whatever to catch this team. Maybe we can get them back at the stadium for a real
game. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, thanks, John. I mean, I think I'm hearing that idea, and it's certainly a nice idea. I don't know if it's realistic. It may be. I don't know. I'd want to ask people, you know, what that might be, but I don't know if anybody has those answers yet. Is that something you could actually expect? But, you know, what I want to say is, why shouldn't all teams do that, right? Your farm team or, you know, a city in close proximity to give them a look at it. What I know, they poured a lot of money into that ballpark for this, and great. baseball fans in Buffalo are to benefit. Maybe in the future, whether it's the lights or the field or the clubhouses, you know, in certain ways, the overall will be better. And it only will be because of this situation that they needed to dress it up to, you know, improve the place for the Blue Jays. So, I don't know. It feels like this is not how... I want to say two things. To start, it feels like this is not how sports works. The Sabres don't play games in Rochester because the building isn't worthy. The NHL teams don't play games in their AHL markets, and Major League teams don't play games in their AAA markets. But I do think we might see, we should see, in different ways, probably, a correction in pro sports in terms of money, like we will in a lot of areas and are starting to already. And what that might lead to is something like this, where there's maybe a little bit more modesty or humility in the sport. Athletes and executives are not used to, are not going to be used to that kind of a correction, just like the people at large who go through it. But I think it's a cool idea. And if your sport struggles to get new fans or young fans to grow in terms of interest and popularity, well, I don't know, maybe it's a little hokey, but this is something you could do. Having said all that, I don't know if people beyond the baseball fans already among us would covet it. Like Joe, for instance, is not a baseball fan, and maybe it wouldn't mean anything to him to have a series every year, or, you know, whatever it might be. So I'll support it. I don't know if it's realistic, and I sort of think it's something that teams should all do. One series a year, something like that. I don't know. Nothing wrong with the idea. Thanks again, John. Frank is next. Hello, Frank.
Hi, Mike. So I had a fantasy question. I know that you opened it up for fantasy.
Sure.
So we have a very unique league. We have 10 guys in the league. It's an auction league. We get $200 to spend. And the way that we've done it is we really kind of made it unique to everybody's different, like, strategy style. So it's a two quarterback league. So that puts a lot more emphasis on getting a better quarterback, at least one, because you don't want to be stuck with number 16 and 19, you know, quarterbacks, because they get so many points and you're already toast before you even really get off the starting block. So some people will go real high on quarterbacks. We also do a position called the young gunner, where the player has to be a rookie or second year player. So it can't be a quarterback, but it can be a running back, receiver, tight end. So some people will spend a lot of money to get a high, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire
yep.
here is going to go for ridiculous money. And then you can plug him into a young gun spot and still get two really good running backs. And then you steal those points from other players. So
mm-hmm.
with that said, it's just a unique format, but would you put your emphasis on locking down two top 10 quarterbacks, do you think that would be more beneficial, or spending high money on a young gunner? Like in the past, I went crazy for Saquon Barkley, and I ended up seventh in the league out of 10. So, but it was actually his second year where he didn't do as well.
Last year.
Better his rookie year, yeah. He did.
Yeah, he got hurt.
Rookie year than he did his second year. And then I spent $53 out of $200 on Saquon Barkley, and I ended up, you know.
I don't see any problem with that, by the way. I mean, he got hurt. So.
Yeah.
I part of your question is, like, should you do that again or not? And I don't think you have to not do it. I mean, it feels like that was just sort of, he got hurt. So.
Well, what I'm thinking about doing is it's also a keeper league, and I got Josh Allen for $3. So I think I'm keeping Josh Allen. I might spend big money on another quarterback and then try to get as many rookies as I can on my bench.
Mm-hmm.
See where that goes for me.
Well, you know, I'll thanks, Frank. I mean, there's a lot to consider here with this league, with the details. I don't know how well I'll do to sort of giving you a plan, but having Allen like that frees you up, I guess, to do different things. I would say, again, I don't think I would read what happened to you last year as that meaningful, as like a reason to not employ a certain strategy. The most important guys to have in fantasy football are the best running backs. And so Edwards-Helaire, Jacobs is in his second year, Miles Sanders in his second year. For your rules, those all seem like home runs. Even like Jonathan Taylor, right? And there's rookies this year. We mentioned Gibson earlier, Akers, Dobbins, and so on. Swift, you know, you've got a pretty good list there. You might not need to pay so much because there's a lot of guys on that list, if second year counts too. But, you know, it's them. And then if you have super flex, of course, it's quarterbacks too, like you said. And you've got Allen, who is like QB7 on your team already. So you can play around. I think I would draft one of those guys I just said, since you asked. That I think I would try. It's auction. I think I might go get one or two of those running backs I just listed. Sanders is very hot. Rachel, would you say that? Would you say very hot? Like, I'm asking myself now, but... Miles yeah. Sanders, Philadelphia, has a lot of energy in drafts right now, and I'm not really, like, I don't own him. I like the offense. I like the coach. The player's okay, but volume is what, opportunity volume, that's what matters more.
He's going as running back 8 right now. Like, I feel like that's pretty good. That's where I'd be on him. Hit me. He is not this built-up talent like McCaffrey, Barkley, Elliott are. But his situation is just perfect. Like that, I would be taking him right around where I would take him above Derrick Henry and maybe even Joe Mixon, just because I think the situation is perfect, and he gives you the pass catching ability that more so Henry than Mixon doesn't give you.
Right, Mixon will catch the ball. That's right.
Right. So
that's
maybe right. Maybe Mixon, actually, if I thought about that harder, I would go Mixon over Sanders. But
they're close in ADP though.
I don't know who is supposed to take touches away from him. Like, they don't, let alone in the backfield, they don't even have a lot of guys at receiver that could take catches away from him.
Did you hear who, this is the Eagles, did you hear who was mentioned today?
For the Eagles?
Yeah.
That it's not Devontae Freeman?
No, he's on the team.
Oh, he's on the team?
I think this was a Peterson quote.
Well, I don't think you'd be asking me if it was Boston Scott.
Greg Ward.
Where? Running back?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, just in general, okay.
Yeah, receiver, yeah. Because you're saying,
I mean,
who takes touches away? That's passing too. I think
Greg
of it
Ward.
Like that way. Greg, who takes? Greg Ward is who. That's right.
I mean, I'm not drafting him anywhere, even if the coach is saying this. But
no, I agree. But I mean, somebody is
40,
going to lead them in receiving, and
40,
maybe it's the tight ends.
He had 40 targets in 7 games last year. Greg
Ward. That's not terrible.
It's probably the tight ends. The tight ends is where we'll dominate the targets. I bet 1, 2, 3 for them might be tight end, running back in targets. It could definitely be that.
Well, you could go Jalen Reagor there. I mean, it's a rookie, and you got to be careful, but you have a chance at a big stat line on that team, that quarterback, that coach. They're going to want to throw it, and who's he throwing it to? I like Goddard the most of the Eagles. Ertz is fine. He's... peanut butter and jelly.
But you have to
he's
draft
fine.
Him 8 rounds.
You got to draft him in the 3rd round. I like Goddard the most. Goddard to me represents a nice opportunity on a team that is not long at wide receiver. Big. They will use 2 tight ends on the field a lot. And I think he kind of serves as a wide receiver there against Ertz. And there's red zone too. He caught passes in the end zone. Like, for the price, that's the guy I want on Philadelphia.
And his ADP is always lower than where he's ranked. Like, his ADP right now is tight end 16. And, I mean, he's definitely being ranked as more of a borderline tight end 1. But, right, like, if he was a receiver, if you labeled him a wide receiver, you might argue he's their number 1 wide receiver.
Yeah.
Or number 2.
I like that point about rank versus ADP. I like it. Dallas Goedert. All right, thanks, Frank. 803-0550. The Blue Jays, fantasy, Sean McDermott, all among our topics today. Again, I'm not, obviously, I was going to say, I'm not blind to like the big picture with sports and the sports world right now, and I'm always up for a conversation about that. Like, I've been saying it today again, you know, just sort of, how does it look to you? How does it feel to you, the idea of Bills games coming up, starting 1 month from tomorrow, and, like, probably no fans? Is it definitely yet? It's probably, right? It's probably. That's what it seems like. 803-0550 to talk. Mike Schoep here. Bulldog is off. Sneaky Joe with me. This is WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Fires again, hit Gavrikov up high. And a chance of point scores! Brandon Point ends it! And the Tampa Bay Lightning take an epic game one in five overtimes.
As fake fans cheer on the Lightning win. I mean, five overtimes speaks for itself. That's insane. In fact, insane is the word Mike Milbury used in a tweet about the game. Did you see it, A, and B, do you think he was just messing around?
I can't decide. It's so bad that I think he is messing, but I also don't know if that is within his scope.
Tough call.
I've never seen Mike Milbury be sarcastic. I don't even know if he's capable of being sarcastic.
I think he is.
I think he has to be.
But I would guess that this was not trolling, right?
The Space Needle part makes me think it's too obvious. He has to know that that's not the Space Needle, right? Like, he's been in the NHL for 40 years. He's been to Toronto how many times? He doesn't know that it's the CN Tower. Or was it ever once referred to as the Space Needle? I don't know. That's
no,
obviously Seattle.
There is a Space Needle. That's
right.
Not it. Milbury's tweet, on another worldly night. Now, right there, he doesn't say otherworldly. He says, on another worldly night. Right? As opposed to on an otherworldly night.
Right. On another. Yeah.
Yeah. He's messed that up right away. He's already messed it up. On another worldly night. Oh, you're saying last night was fairly worldly? Is that what you're saying? Which is not what he means. On another worldly night, Space Needle is an appropriate backdrop. And it's a blurry picture of the
so
CN
blurry.
Tower. Like, is he in a car? And he's just taking that picture on his phone out the window? Maybe, like, I've done that. Right? Because it's not focused or anything. Like, he's not looking at, like, stopping. And he's probably in a moving car.
It looks like he's in a parking lot. To me, like, it looks like he's in a parking lot, which I would argue if he's in a car.
No, you're right. He's not. You're right. No, I have to click on the whole picture. He's not on the road.
No, he's not on the road. So I think he takes this picture, and I mean, you take this picture, and the natural response is, "Oh, it's blurry. I got to take it again."
You can't share it.
No,
you can't use it.
No.
Insane. On another worldly night, Space Needle is an appropriate backdrop, which. Okay, otherworldly, which is not what he writes, but that's what he means. Otherworldly, Space Needle, space. I see what he's going for. Insane Columbus TV game. God bless both teams for a great effort.
Why does he? Never mind. He abbreviates Tampa Bay, but not Columbus. But never mind.
Yeah, small detail.
Yeah.
God bless both teams for a great effort. Enough though. I believe we should end these games sooner via 3-on-3 or shootout after a time. What do you think?
I hope it's trolling because it's perfect if he is.
Yeah, right.
It's either that he is perfect at trolling or he is worse at Twitter than maybe anyone I've ever seen in my life. Like, every single part of this tweet, like, needs to be corrected almost.
Yes, kind
of. The picture.
Yes.
Every sentence, the grammar, just everything.
Another worldly night.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing.
It is kind of amazing.
CN Tower used to be called Canadian National, or is That's Canadian CN. National Tower, right? CN. So
yeah.
It's the only other name it's ever gone by.
Space Needle. Well, part of this is wondering whether he thinks it is the Space Needle. Like, that's the same thing, that Space Needle is just a term for the CN Tower.
Maybe he thinks
it's a type of Space Needle.
Yeah. I guess it could be.
Space Needle's a great name.
Space Needle?
Isn't it? Like, you want to build a super high, narrow building? What a great name. Space Needle.
Sure.
That's a great name. It's underrated.
It's not very creative, though, I would say.
No?
No. I don't think
Space Needle?
It's a cool name. It's a cool name.
Yes.
But, I don't know. I'm not an overly
I'm just thinking it's great. It's a great name. Space Needle. It's a needle pointing up into space, towards space. It doesn't get all the way there.
No. It's definitely not near tall enough, but
what about this idea of shortening games? I mean, Carolina and Boston, it's a weird year and everything, I know, but it was like the U.S. Open when Venus Williams is like in the hallway or in the locker room scheduled to play a match that could start at 8:15, but the men's match, they've made it now so that the women will sometimes play second. The men's match is going to go for 5 hours, so she's going to play at midnight instead, and you sit there in the locker room for hours waiting for the other match to end, and you just don't know when that's going to be. It's got to be frustrating, and you know, if you've played in a tennis tournament, it can be like that, going to be 5 hours later, but you're sort of used to those delays. Still, that's extreme. Here's Caroline in Boston. They're dressed. Like, they had to be dressed or getting dressed. When, how much time is there between these games? Like, an hour? Maybe hour and a half? Maybe they weren't dressed. Do we know?
No, they weren't, because I heard them say on NBCSN that it takes 30 to 45 minutes for them to disinfect the locker rooms, and that is after all those players have undressed and are out of the facilities. So they're not dressed. They're not even in the locker room. They can't be in the locker room yet until at least 45 minutes after that game.
Where do you think they are then?
They're in the tunnel watching the game. They're
Is there a room where they can...
In a concourse. I don't know.
They're not in the hotel.
No, I would imagine they're somewhere in the arena, but not in the locker rooms.
Yeah.
Unless there's somewhere else for them to get dressed. I'm sure they could find spots, but I don't think they would have been.
But what are you doing? So the game this morning started at 11. The Washington game was supposed to start at 3.
Yep.
If the 11 o'clock game is a normal game, it ends at like 1:30 or 1:40. Right?
Yep.
2.5 hours. If it ends in regulation, you're looking at 2.5 hours, 1:30. And so your game is at 3, and at 1:30, you can't go in? You can't go in the locker room until like 2:15?
Yep. You got to wait 30 to 45 for the locker rooms to be disinfected.
But that's tight. Like the warm-ups would be at 2:30 or 2:40. What time would the warm-ups? The warm-ups are 20 minutes, and then there's a 20-minute break. Maybe there's less. They're just going to clean the ice and that's it. Maybe that break is shorter.
Maybe.
Between warm-ups and the game. Because there's no fans. Maybe that's what that is. But what are you going on for warm-ups if your game's at 3? 2:20 maybe, yeah. 2:20.
It takes you more than 5 to 10 minutes.
You're going to need more than 5 minutes to put your entire uniform on.
Yeah.
So there's got to be something else to this. Like, there's got to be... Are there more than 2 locker rooms?
That I don't know either.
Maybe there's 3 games there today. So if you have 4 locker rooms, Carolina and Boston are in 2, Islanders are in Washington in the other 2, they disinfect Carolina and Boston, and then the late game tonight goes in there. I don't know. I just know that his idea, I mean, the idea has some merit. 8 periods is nuts. At least the game started in the afternoon. It went from 3 o'clock to 9:20. the game last. It was six hours and 15 or 20 minutes. If the game starts at 7 at night, like a normal game, then that goes until 1:20 in the morning. Or is that, that's right, isn't it?
Yep.
6:20. Yeah. So 1:20, and that's just, you can't. That's when I would think this, you know, like, let's just end it. It's best of 7. Let's have a shootout. Let's have a 3-on-3. Let's go.
Well, or you never have to do any of this if you just call more than one penalty in 5 overtimes,
fine.
Probably.
Fine. I agree with them. If it ends up, you call more penalties and there's still no goals. I agree with them. 3 overtimes is the max. 60 minutes. An entire second game is the limit. That's what I would say.
But then what happens? You play another game the next day? Or are you rescheduling that game?
You break the tie.
You break the tie right then and there.
Yes, somewhere. Just okay. Like they do in the regular season. You break the tie somehow. 3-on-3 or shootout or both. But this 5 overtimes, it's not the Space Needle. And the word is otherworldly. So he's got many problems here. But I think I agree with him. It was cool. But again, the game was at 3. So you could go home from work, as I did, and watched it. You could watch it after work, you know, if you work a normal shift. And that's good. 7 o'clock game, it's a disaster. Normal hockey, almost every playoff game for how long has been a night game? You know, well, the weekends are day games sometimes, but you know, odds are this is taking you until 1:30 in the morning.
All in all, if this was the goal, if his goal of that tweet was to ask that question, he did a terrible job.
Too much in the way.
We're not spending much. There's, most people are not spending much time on the actual question.
There's too much else in the way. The Space Needle thing is bad, but it's not worse for me than otherworldly. I mean, come on, dude. Otherworldly? I got to stop saying it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
The pitch to Shaw. Swing and a line drive. Base hit. Ball game over. RBI game-winning base hit by Travis Shaw, driving in Anthony Alford for a 5-4 walk-off win in downtown Buffalo.
Ben Wagner, our guest yesterday from Toronto, calling the game in Buffalo. And they'll go again in about 40 minutes. Nate Pearson and Jordan Yamamoto, I think, for Miami. We need Vlad to start hitting. Our Blue Jays, come on, 222, one homer, let's go. You are kind of a phenom, sir. Speaking of phenoms, Brian Koziol along on the Wester Hotline from Salem Field, night 2. Brian, quickly, how is tonight different than last night, if at all, so far?
Well, the crowd looks the same, Mike. There you go. Tried to be funny for once.
Yes.
Yes, the cutouts seem to be in exactly where they were last night.
Cutouts are in good spirits.
They seem to all be smiling, just exactly where I left them last night.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously maybe a little less buzz. It's feeling down here. Last night when I was walking in, all of the area TV stations were set up with their live shots outside. I didn't see any there tonight. I did do a little digging on what you asked me yesterday about media there. There is 2 Toronto media members here, one from the Toronto Star, one from the Toronto Sun. So they are here, there, and they are here just staying like they would be. They can go back into Canada. Apparently it's us from the U.S. that can't go there. So they don't want the Americans in. But they said that, yes, they told them they're here for work and that they allowed them in. So there's 2 reporters here from Toronto covering it. But as far as last night's went, I was a little caught off guard by the crowd noise and the music and stuff that they had piped in. But probably after maybe about the 4th, 5th inning, I kind of didn't notice it anymore, but it was kind of weird in the start, especially because your brain can't comprehend crowd noise when the building is empty.
Yeah, we're not used to that. How was postgame?
So, in terms of the procedure for me, all the media just stayed seated at our tables in our makeshift press box here up in Section 100 and 101, and they did them all on Zoom, and they had the manager and a few players, and Travis Shaw, who had the game-winning hit last night, was, I would say, maybe the most interesting interview, talking about that. He's like, look, some guys came in here with an attitude about it. Some guys came in here with a positive attitude about it. But he said, from what they did with the place, he said, we can't not feel like they didn't try to make it home for us, which is all we've really been asking for. He said, we've been on the road for an entire month, And he said the only concern that he had logistically coming in was the lighting and how he could see the ball both in the field and batting. And he said it was tremendous. So
good.
All the bulbs that they changed. And Montoya said it, the manager, and so did Bichette. He talked about it as well. They said that the lighting was excellent.
I was a little worried in the first inning when Teoscar Hernandez almost tripped over the bullpen in right field. Have they done away with all the major league on-field bullpens or bullpens that are not walled off?
I saw that and I was thinking, oh my goodness, if there's a severe injury here,
right away.
One of the things they didn't want. I think didn't San Francisco have it and maybe they moved it. I'm just trying to picture other ballparks in major league, but yeah. Other than that, last night, everything else seemed to run as smooth as normal. A couple other comments by the players said that the new infield handled great. And Bo Bichette had said, look, he goes, I played great here. I always felt relaxed here. And he had a big night last night, including that 3-run home run.
Right. Okay. Well, enjoy night two. Thanks for checking in.
Okay, Mike. Thanks a lot. Talk soon.
Brian Koziol there, Blue Jays and Marlins. The Jays are off tomorrow. But I guess they're not going outside, right? Or outside their hotel, whatever. Maybe they'll have, you know, practice or something, probably. And then Friday, it's the Tampa Bay Rays this weekend. So, super cool. And I thought it looked great last night. Watching it was a proud moment for me. Loved seeing Buffalo in the majors. It's going to be cool for me. And for many of you. We'll get back to football next. Talk to Sal Capaccio about Sean McDermott's contract extension and more. And then Aaron Schatz for you as well. Some analytics-based stuff on the Bills and the AFC East. And New England's such a interesting team now with all the changes. Aaron's up there, and we'll talk to him about the Patriots as well. Of course, I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. Bulldog is off through the week. Dan Schulman on the Blue Jays coming up on Thursday. Friday. You said, sorry. He'll be on. He was on Monday morning, I think, too. He'll be on with us Friday. We're shooting for Evan Abrams as well by the end of the week. Again, back with Sal talking Bills. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.